WildTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight. Who wants to walk with Elias? Yeah.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Because when the hounds come down to this ring, you got two choices. You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Oh my goodness. This is the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Gurk.net and MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I am Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Oh, this was an interesting Raw tonight. It's officially Mania season for the Red Brand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's definitely WrestleMania season for the Red Brand, and it kicked off with WWE Raw General Manager Kurt Angle coming to the ring, and he was, you know, he's been swallowing his pride all this time as Raw General Manager, but last week the game went too far when he sucker punched him, and he called him out to face him like a man, but he did not get the man, he get the whoa man, as Stephanie McMahon, the commissioner of Monday Night Raw, came to the ring. She talked about Kurt Angle's children, and, you know, how he has alimony payments, which are pretty steep. He needs to talk to someone else that's on the show. Stephanie then brought up all of his achievements and, you know, how are you going to pay your bills if, you know, you get fired as Raw General Manager, basically. And Stephanie said Hunter's not got even, and now they're on the same page because, you know, what happened with the contract signing. And she told him to know his role, basically to shut his mouth and before she laced the SmackDown, but did not go that far. Just make the matches, and this all could be behind them. The music you just heard to open the show was Ronda Rousey's. She came to the ring. Crowd was very into Ronda Rousey. She slapped all the fans at ringside. Just about. Huge Ronda chant. Ronda told Stephanie what they did to Angle was enlightening. Steph was like, huh. And she's figuring out the people who employ her are not who she thought they were. She said, that's okay. She's been putting up with bully bosses a lot in her career. Stephanie said employees sometimes don't understand that their bosses, and talks about how, you know, I brought you here, you signed the contract, you're now an employee. Rousey knew that deal, though, you know, it was a good deal, and, you know, this deal gives her a right for one thing, for a match at WrestleMania. Stephanie brought that point up, and, well, she gets to choose her opponent, but they have to be a member of the active roster. That's key, Lindsay, that's key.
Yeah, there's a little disclaimer there.
Stephanie asked for a drum roll, because this is a huge announcement, and Ronda goes, you. No build-up, she don't need no drum roll. She went, you. Stuff like, I'm not a member of the active roster. And out came Triple H, who apparently was indeed here, as Kurt Angle may mention. You said you weren't here, but Triple H was like, yeah, I'm here. Sorry about that. So guess what? I'm here. Deal with it. He told Angle to focus on his job. Hunter told Rousey that Stephanie is an executive and the commissioner. She's not a member of the roster. Well, Kurt Angle probably did some digging. Because, well, Stephanie has a contract to be as, you know, the executive, whatever her role is, and chief brand officer, that's her role. And she has a second contract, one of a wrestler, or a superstar, so it will be Stephanie, you will face Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania, and the crowd popped.
Which we've all been waiting for, so yay.
But Kurt Angle noted that Triple H also has a second contract, And he recalled telling Angle after Survivor Series that he would go after him if he ever touched him again. And well, Angle said if it's okay with Ronda, he would team up with her to face Triple H and Stephanie at WrestleMania.
There you go. It's official.
It's official.
And a beatdown ensued after this announcement, and basically Ronda killed Hunter and Steph.
But before she did that, Stephanie went to slap Angle, and Ronda stopped him.
Yep.
Hunter was like, no, don't do that. No, don't do that. Hunter tried it for a sucker punch again. Angle blocked it, took him down. We had an ankle lock attempt that got Hunter escaped. Stephanie got in the ring, attacked Ronda from behind, and then Ronda got right back up and stared her down as Steph ran away. Rousey then looked back at Triple H, who gets the death stare. Kurt Angle attacks him, puts it Triple H goes for a pedigree. Angle blocks it, puts him in the ankle lock. Stephanie helps Triple H escape. As this happens, Ronda grabs Stephanie by her hair and pulls her into the ring. Stephanie's like, no, no, no. Casual Stephanie gets put up on the shoulders of Ronda Rousey and dropped with a Samoan drop to end the segment. Fantastic.
Love this. One complaint is about Steph's hair and makeup. It was just a little much tonight, but everything else was fine. In that department, Ronda looked great. I loved her hair. I love this whole segment, and I especially love that Hunter is willing to take one for the team and get beaten up by her week in and week out. It was great.
Well, she didn't get her hands on him this week, but she made sure, it's like, okay, you're gonna
No, she put the ankle lock on him.
Did she? No, she didn't. She never grabbed.
No.
No, Kurt did.
But Kurt did, that's right.
Kurt did. She did the death stare.
That's right.
But still, he's selling for her. He is selling for her. And that's getting over a superstar. So for whoever doesn't say he doesn't do it.
There you go.
He's doing it right here. He's making he's making it a point too.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, this was a fantastic setup. So there's your first Mania match of the night. For anybody that was complaining that they weren't setting anything up for Mania, there you go. There's your first one.
We're going to get to that in a second. I want to talk about the end of the show now. We did the beginning. I want to talk about the end now. I don't want to save it. Paul Heyman came to the ring holding the WWE Universal Championship, which, if you know things, Heyman doesn't normally carry that belt, which is why someone, me, would go question, why is Paul Heyman holding the title? I don't need people on Facebook going, he said why. Duh. Anyway, there you go.
I honestly have forgotten what it looked like. I'm not going to lie.
It's the red belt. He put the belt in the middle of the ring. Heyman said once Lesnar successfully defends the championship or WrestleMania, then chooses to defend the title at SummerSlam, Heyman will come to the ring, lay the title down again, and then lay the UFC title next to it.
Wait, what?
Yep, he said that.
Okay then, we're getting real.
Heyman gave props to Roman Reigns for being the one of only two men to defeat so-and-so at WrestleMania Undertaker. Heyman asked if anyone pointed out that Taker wrestled only one time that year. He said no one made the statement because if they did make that statement, it would be BS. Heyman said Undertaker is the Undertaker 365 days a year. He said,
God help his wife!
He said Reigns beat Taker, so props to him. Heyman says Lesnar is Lesnar 365 days a year, and Reigns isn't going to beat him and take the title. Heyman said that Reigns doesn't like what he's saying, then next week he can do something about it when he brings out Brock Lesnar. Heyman said, Reigns can seek, he can offer and seek a, he said, seek a new title to challenge for at right after WrestleMania because the Universal title belongs to Brock Lesnar. It was a nice touch getting Alpha and Sika in there.
It was.
Heyman then looks at the bell. Heyman said, Roman Reigns called Lesnar a bitch last week. Heyman held up the title, said, this is Brock's Lesnar's bitch. She belongs to Brock, and Roman Reigns, you are eyeballing Brock Lesnar's bitch, and you can't have her.
Little bit sexist, but okay.
Heyman talked about his bloodline. He pointed out the belt and said, this is his bloodline. This is not a belt, this is not a strap, that's not a prop. Heyman said of the title belt, that's a declarative statement that you are the number one or better than anyone else in the entire world or universe. Heyman said, not how bad Reigns wants the title, it's how bad the title wants him. Heyman talked about the sacrifices you have to make. Maybe you get a call before the night before WrestleMania. Something happened to your father. You can't go home. Because this title needs to be defended. He said if Reigns wants him Universal Champion, then he knows that Reigns needs him, loves him, and lusts for him more. Heyman says his client would appear on Raw next week, and he could say anything he wants to his face. He said that he thinks Reigns has learned that you don't want to shoot on the mic with Paul Heyman, and you don't want to shoot in the ring with Brock Lesnar. Mic drop, end the story. That should have been the end of Raw. Nope, Roman Reigns came out.
Before Roman comes out, let's talk about Heyman's portion, because this was...
awesome.
Phenomenally good, as, you know, anything with Paul Heyman. It got real, it was not PG, and I really, really, really liked this. And they could have closed the show on this, and this would have been fine.
Yeah, completely.
But yeah, this promo was great because he made some really good points in this promo, including when you're champion, when you're the top guy in the company, you have to make those sacrifices. Look at John Cena. John Cena is a prime example of being the top guy in the company. He's a 15-time champ or 16-time champion, however many times he's held that title, for a reason. Because he'll go wherever they need him to go. They'll do whatever they want him to do. He'll say it. He'll visit it. He'll show up. And hey, that if that means he gives up his days off, that means he gives up his days off. If that means he doesn't go home for Christmas, well, hey, guess what? He doesn't go home for Christmas that year.
If Nikki Bella wants kids, well, Nikki Bella can't have kids just yet.
There you go. But I mean, it's that level of sacrifice. And I know we all complain about Brock. We all complain how he doesn't show up and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. So, you know, there's a nice sort of hypocritical feeling to that where it's, well, but Brock isn't making those sacrifices because he just shows up when he wants and defends the title when he wants. So there was a nice juxtaposition for that in that promo.
Then Roman Reigns came out. Reigns got in his face, told him to take off the belt. Reigns said this is what he was talking about. He said what he said last week before was a little harsh, but completely true. He said he thought Lesnar would be a man about the situation, but he sent Paul Heyman to do his rebuttal. He goes, Brock Lesnar is really a bitch, isn't he? He said the fans aren't asking for much. They're merely asking for their champion to show up for work and to actually want to be there. Reigns told Heyman that if Lesnar would be in Detroit for Raw next week, so will he. Reigns said Lesnar can say what he wants to his face, but he shouldn't come dressed for a promo segment. He should come dressed for a fight. That's Monday Night Raw lands.
This was a fine addition to it. I mean, Roman didn't hurt anything that Heyman said, but I still feel like you could have closed the show on Heyman and not had Roman come out, and it would have been fine.
This show didn't need Roman Reigns.
But I mean, the promo that Roman did was fine. It was a nice addition, but in my book, it was kind of an unnecessary addition because Roman just basically was like, yeah, okay, you know, if Lesnar shows up next week, I'm going to kick his ass. Great. Thanks for that.
I guess the point was, you got to get him on TV to make it a point that he's always there and Brock's not, I guess. I don't know. You could have had Roman come, you know, beat someone up earlier in the show to make it the point he's there. Heyman sold the match and everything with his promo.
But I mean, they're doing a good job because that's the story that they're clearly telling with Roman and Brock, is that Roman is Mr. 365, he's there all the time, and Brock is not. So that's where they're going with that.
Alright, so going through some matches. The Bar beat the Revival. I think that was someone's complaint. Oh my god, they should be spending time setting up, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus' match at WrestleMania. The point of the story is there's no one for them to fight. It's just the point of the story. They've beaten everybody. So either everybody will get one chance to beat them, or they're going to bring them a team. Or maybe they'll bring in a team from the past and hit them with a 3D.
Mm, oh, maybe.
Oh, my brother testify? I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. Bayley beat Mandy Rose. She was going to talk about what happened last week, but was interrupted by Absolution. Paige told up Bayley that you're a big girl now, and she doesn't need Banks to change her diapers. Paige said WWE is easier if you have backup, and if you have no one. Paige said WWE is easier if you have backup, and if you have no one, then you have nothing.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Yeah, Bayley beat Mandy. Match was fine. Afterwards, it was a beatdown on Bayley. Sasha made the save. Sasha went for a hug, but Bayley turned her away.
Bayley pushed her off. She's not quite forgiven, which I'm really liking that story between Bayley and Sasha a lot.
It's a nice slow build. Sasha's been really good. They're both been really good on Twitter about it too. Sasha brought out like these the dolls, and she was beating up the Bayley doll. It's interesting.
We're building to Bayley versus Sasha, which I'm liking.
Mm-hmm. So there is that. Let's see other matches that happened on the show. It was a Symphony of Destruction match.
This hurt my inner band geek on so many levels because it's like, oh, hey, look, musical instruments. That's awesome. And, you know, if you've played musical instruments or you've played music, you understand that, you know, to destroy an instrument like that hurts your soul. But at the same time, it was entertaining as all hell. So I can't complain about that at all.
So Elias came out for a performance. What instruments did he have?
He had guitars, a bass, string bass, I should say, and a piano and a drum set.
And, well, he felt the wrath of basically all of them. He played all the instruments, and then during the match, first, he wanted a proper introduction. He got it, and when the lights went out, he bailed. Strowman caught up to him backstage when he was trying to escape in the car. He was stopping the car. He was legit holding up the car as Elias was trying to get away.
Yep.
Some cartoon stuff there.
It was, but it was a nice effect.
Mm-hmm. So Elias gets beat up a lot and lost. He got the bass smashed on him. He got the piano dropped on him. And yeah, fun time had by all. Pretty much?
Pretty much.
The Mizzies were given out tonight. Finn Balor and Seth Rollins won for bragging about themselves so much. Kurt Angle won for being a bad general manager. And Miz gave himself a lifetime achievement award. Well, he was interrupted by Seth Rollins, who said people were begging for him to stop. Finn Balor came out. They started flirting with one another. Miz made a challenge to both of them to have a handicap match tonight. But before that, Miz said neither man deserves to face him for the IC title at WrestleMania. Miz said Balor had the Universal title for one day, but he's done nothing since then. He said Balor tells everyone how over he is, but he says this is not Japan, this is WWE. To be over, you need more than a hand signal or hand sign that's not even yours.
Ouch.
Too sweet, man. Too sweet. Miz then, challenged both men to a 3-on-2 handicap match, which the handicap match was won by Balor and Rollins. A little dissension there, though, because both were trying to pin Miz and hit a finisher, but it was Seth Rollins who got the pin.
Stop flirting. Just do the thing, y'all. Just do it, please. Just stop flirting. It's so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. So, complaints were set up Cesaro and Sheamus, correct? They set that,
yes.
up, set that up. It was announced by Kurt Angle after the match that it'll be Miz defending against Rollins and Finn Balor. Set up? You got that set up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was the other one they were complaining about? What other storyline?
John Cena.
No, they were complaining about Braun. Braun's direction. Think yes. They're telling a story with Braun. Just saying. Everything was covered.
Yeah, I just want to rant on that real quick. So, though, I saw a post going around online that people were worried that, you know, it's 4 weeks to WrestleMania. They haven't set the card yet. And, you know, they listed off all these things that they should be doing tonight on Raw. And they put this out in about the first hour of the show. And it's like, okay, number one, calm down. They have 4 weeks. They're not going to announce the entire WrestleMania card, especially for Raw, the first night after essentially Elimination Chamber. Not the first night after Elimination Chamber, but really the full week after.
You got 34 days to WrestleMania.
You have 34 days to WrestleMania to set the Raw card. That's plenty of time for them to do it and build it. Like, you don't want to announce it all at once, because what they're trying to do is tell a story to WrestleMania. That's the whole point. So they're doing a slower, steadier, more direct build, because, you know, I will agree, in the past, we've generally known what's going on with WrestleMania before Elimination Chamber, and they've stopped doing that, where they've made they've built to Chamber, and then they're going to build from WrestleMania to from Chamber. You know, they're building to Fastlane, and then from Fastlane they'll build to WrestleMania. So they're making the very intentional choice to make Elimination Chamber and Fastlane count. Whereas just making them, you know, we all know the direction for Mania, so these don't really mean anything. There's no stakes.
So we got two matches announced tonight, and people were complaining. Why? Because John Cena was on this show and talking about the WWE Championship match at Fastlane. He said he's going to make history by winning the title, breaking a record that's been held for 20 years. He will do this because it's his only road to WrestleMania. He said he has earned every opportunity. He said he's not given success. He was given a chance, and he earned his opportunity by beating AJ Styles. And he said, after Sunday, people will be talking about how he robbed AJ Styles of a WrestleMania moment. But no, Styles can use his rematch clause at WrestleMania, make it a triple threat match with John Cena, AJ Styles, and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Hey!
Gold Dust came out and talked about his dream about being a contender, but he's you know, basically a bum. Goldust is sort of like lobbyist that he wants to stop John Cena on his road. He said his dreams never have been the perfect ending, but they are just taken from him. He said the dreams of a perfect rainbow have turned gray and very, very evil. He said that ends today. He said he's the new director for this epic motion picture featuring John Cena. He says Cena's dreams will be shattered, and then he knocked down John Cena. John Cena then beat Goldust in a match.
And there were a lot of people complaining about this online, and there are a couple reasons they did this match that, you know, we've kind of come up with. We don't know for sure, obviously, but this is essentially one, it's a placeholder match for John Cena until they get him past Fastlane, and they can do whatever his WrestleMania setup is. You know, again, there were a lot of Undertaker name drops tonight on Raw, so that would lead one to believe that they're trying to get his name back out there for certain reasons that have to entirely do with John Cena, or they're going in another direction. Nobody's really sure. But this is basically just, okay, we want to get John Cena on Raw. We want to have him put over Fastlane, even though it's a SmackDown pay-per-view. He's a free agent. He can appear on both shows, so we can use him as a way to promote Fastlane on Monday Night Raw without just having to air a commercial for it. Two, they needed a placeholder match because, well, John Cena needs something to do, you know?
Yeah.
And he's not necessarily going to get to do what he wants to do tomorrow night on SmackDown. So it's a way to, again, get him out there, get his name out there, get the pay-per-view name out there.
And who knows if he'll even be on SmackDown tomorrow.
There you go.
So there is that. Nia Jax took on Asuka. Match was okay. Wasn't as good as the pay-per-view. But they weren't given as much time, though, either.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't have the time.
The finish, though, was good with the armbar spots. She kept fighting, but in the end, she eventually would tap out to the armbar. Nia was sad and, you know, very distressed and everything like that. The fans gave her an ovation as she got up and walked to the back. Alexa Bliss, later on in the show, was sort of with Nia, and she told Nia that she lost the Elimination Chamber, and again on Raw, won't be going to WrestleMania, but it's okay, you'll get there next year. She knows Jax is disappointed in herself, and never saw her give up like that. She said Jax must be, you know, embarrassed. He said Jax is friends, and wanted her to pick herself up, and know that she will be on WrestleMania next year, like I mentioned. She talked about Jax being bullied and scorned, because there's so much... She was so much bigger than all the other kids. Nia was starting to cry as Bliss said she sees the way people look at her in the airports. She said Jax can't quit or everyone will lose all respect for her.
Very solid moment between Alexa and Nia. And basically there's a setup for Nia versus Alexa at WrestleMania.
And Nia going babyface.
And Nia going babyface.
I can't buy into it.
It's a little hard. I don't like Nia Jax crying. I'm not even going to lie on that. Like, you just want to be like, who hurt you? I'm going to beat you up. Or beat them up. I'm not going to beat you up, but beat them up. But yeah, it's a good setup. I want to see her get stronger in the weeks that follow.
Yes. So there is that. Did I miss anything? I think that's everything that happened on Raw.
No, we need to talk about the non-PG moment on Raw.
Oh, right. There was a non-PG moment on Raw.
Holy crap.
Bray Wyatt versus Rhino. Go.
Bray! Good God, honey! There are children watching this show! What the hell? So for those of you that don't know what happened, Bray Wyatt and Rhino had a match.
45 seconds.
45 seconds. It was not a match. I'm pretty sure they made it in some form, and now Rhino is Bray's. Legit. That, I swear to God, that's what happened, because after the match, Bray is laying on top of Rhino, rubbing Rhino's hand all over his face, and then Heath comes in to try and get Rhino, and Bray just sprawls himself over Rhino even more, and is like, you want some? You want to get in the middle? And he's like, yeah, no thanks, okay, bye. Like, what? This is a PG show, Bray. You cannot do those kinds of things. I mean, granted, he was in the white pants.
Are they white? Are they really white?
They were white at one point. I think parts of them are still white, but those are the formal slut pants. So he announced when he came out that, you know, he was feeling particularly slutty tonight, so we all should have known, but still, Bray. I know it's hard, which is a really wrong word to use here. I know it's difficult. There we go. I know it's difficult for you right now, but can you not? Can you just sort of, you know, contain it? I don't know. I'm done. I just, what the hell was this? I mean, don't get me wrong. I loved it. I loved every second of it. I'm very proud of him. I've missed this Bray Wyatt tremendously.
But Bray was not done. He calls out Matt Hardy, that coward, to show his face. Talks about it, you know, this final deletion and how the Great War is far from over. Cue woken Matt Hardy.
He woke him.
He woke Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy comes on the screen and agrees with Bray Wyatt that the Great War is far from over. But the Great War cannot be contained in the land of WWE. Oh no. He said the only battlefield worthy of their cosmic combat is at the Hardy compound, the site of ultimate deletion.
So we had a Vanguard sighting. We had a Skarsgård sighting.
Yes.
I think Senior Benjamin was in it.
Yes.
But Rebby and the kids were not.
Yes.
Yes, they were. No, they weren't.
I'm agreeing with you. Yes, they weren't.
Okay. So yeah. So far we've seen Vanguard 1, Skarsgård, and Senior Benjamin, which the battlefield is being prepared. So it looks like at WrestleMania we're going for Ultimate Deletion, not Final Deletion, which I have very, very mixed feelings about this because, as you all know, I'm not a huge fan of Matt Hardy and the whole broken universe, spoken universe crap. Not really a huge fan of that, but this could be really interesting because of the way that they could do this at WrestleMania, which we're going to get into in a couple weeks on the other show, The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Ding! But yeah, so I like the tease for this. I like the build-up for this. They've already starting it. They're, you know, basically we're going to put it out there. And if they continue to tease it like this, I think they could get people really, really interested in it, which I'm fine with.
Prepare the battlefield week in, week out, until you get ready to do the match.
Although, I'm going to say this right now, because Matt Hardy put this out on Twitter. Apparently, he has been spying on Bray Wyatt all weekend with Vanguard 1 video footage, or it did not happen. Just saying. I want video footage, damn it. Matt, please, release the footage. It's a need. This is not a want, this is a need. We need to see that. So, you know, time is money.
This has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, twitch.tv/rockradioshow is WTR Sims. Thursday night, though, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune in because we're going to be previewing Fastlane. We'll also have news because we actually do have news this week. Yay! And all your favorite SmackDown, NXT, Tweet of the Week, all that fun stuff. But there's also something else coming, isn't there?
Yes, check out The Rack Extra tomorrow. The Rock Extra reviews WWE Ultimate Superstar Guide version 2. The Rock reviews will be available tomorrow for your listening pleasure.
Just to recover that for your teaser, 208 pages of utter goodness.
Rock Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the other social medias. Saturday night, midnight-ish, is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Go back and listen to last night's episode where we talked the greater than great debate on board games. This week, we're still deciding. CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish. Russell Talk Radio, 11 p.m.
Wait, you're still deciding?
Yes.
Why didn't you decide Saturday night?
Because it's Jobber's choice, so he's picking one.
Oh, Lord.
So we're figuring it out. Anyway, Russell Talk Radio is Sunday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, reviewing Fastlane. We'll be back next Monday night for a Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. Yes, Brent, deciding.
I feel so cheated. We did so wait, are we not doing a collective?
We are. No, we're going to have one by Friday. The thing will be announced.
No.
We're working on the bracket. It's going to be a thing. We're working on a subject. We're going to have a collective. We're going to have all the usual stuff. Anyway, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com, Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Linsward, L-I-N-S-W-R-D, and go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Gerwick.net and Wrestling... Oh, MBG Films. Say, I sucked. MBG Films, YouTube.com.
And you give me crap.
YouTube.com/MBG1211. It's Wrestling Figure Wednesdays and so much more. She's Lindsay. I'm Rock. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. A long day away. It's the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Tom.